Doctrines class, lesson 3, page 1. Anybody? We finished page 1 last time, so we are on page 2. So you have, yeah, I'm passing out page 2. 2, 4, 6, 6, 2, 4, 5, Jerry? There you go. And here's one for Zach.
Okay, it's going to be so early, and then I decided to pay it.
Okay. Here we go.
Is the other coming?
Okay, so last time on page 1, we talked about, a predestined time when every event in life will happen, and it's God who determines when it will happen and what the outcome will be. I've mentioned to you several times, and I guess I'll probably mention this till the day the Lord takes me home, that you are not in charge of the outcome of your life. You are not in charge of the outcome of your life. You are only in charge of handling the outcome of your life. That outcome has been predetermined by God in eternity past, and he's also given you the promise in Romans 8:28 and in Jeremiah 29:11 that what he's going to do for you is going to work out for your good. Now, you could take that any way you want. If you think that if you're going through an adversity and that adversity is causing you to lose blood, money, whatever it is, faith, joy, whatever it is you're losing in this adversity, God promises you that it's going to work out for your good. He's in charge of the outcome. You're in charge of accepting it, period. Very important thing. I want to tell you why it's important. You know, faith and joy are Siamese twins. You can't move one without moving the other, okay? They both move at the same rate, okay? Peace, unconditional peace, comes from God. And the only way you can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, and the rest of those fruits of the Spirit, the only way you can do that is to understand that God is in charge of the outcomes in your life. Period. New thought. That's really important. Because if you don't accept that, if you don't believe that, if you don't submit to that, then I can absolutely tell you that you will be a chronic complaining Christian as long as you walk this earth. Period. New thought. You cannot enjoy the fruit of the Spirit unless you submit to the authority of God. You can't do anything unless you submit to the authority of God. For example, a woman cannot submit to her husband until first she submits to God. A husband can't love his wife sacrificially until he loves God sacrificially. That means God first, wife second, everybody third, and he's last. He cannot love his wife sacrificially until he loves God sacrificially. She cannot submit until she submits to him. And I don't care what sect of Christianity you belong to. That is the Bible's word. Submit and obey. Period. And that simply means whatever's going on in your life, if this coming Thanksgiving you're at the house and people are all upset because of the politics, because of the diseases that's floating through the air, or they're upset about anything else, doesn't matter. Don't get upset. And tell them why. Hey, I don't know why the politics turned out the way they did. I don't like them, but you know what? I know who turned them out, and it wasn't my vote or yours. That's all you got to say. That just covers all the bases. Well, what about? Listen. You didn't hear what I said. I know how it turned out, just like you do, and I know why it turned out that way. It turned out that way because it was his will. You're not sovereign. I'm not sovereign. And there's so much corruption in this world. We don't even know who won if you were just to leave it to the vote. We know though that he as believers, we know that he turned it out the way he did, even right now as they're going through all this process. Mm-hmm. And the same applies with the COVID.
COVID,
whatever you call it. And I don't like the idea that they're messing with words when they say that this is a terrible pandemic. Listen, the flu's been around for a long time. And it's affected the whole world I remember being a kid, and it was called pig flu or Chinese flu. That's what it was called, right? Chinese flu. You got Chinese flu. Everybody had Chinese flu. And they didn't call it that because it came from America. It came from China. We've always had this stuff, and now it's just been politicized. And if you want to get, and I don't get crazy with numbers. I heard this morning somebody say, well, 50 million people died of the regular flu, only 2 million died. I don't care, because the outcome of every death is also not up to you or I. You're not going to determine when you're going to die. You didn't determine when you were going to be born, where you were going to be born, or who you were going to be born to. You are nothing but passive in this world. And you have to understand that if you really want to grow in the doctrine of grace. You can't grow if you don't submit to all of those things I just said. You can't do it. All you'll do is you'll get to heaven. You'll go in there with a fruit basket under your arm, probably, okay, instead of a wheelbarrow or a U-Haul. That would be nice. A spiritual U-Haul would be nice to, right? I like a 16-footer, please. Thank you very much. Fill that baby up, right? But I'm telling you that all of that depends on you submitting to God and remembering that one thing. You don't have to remember everything. Remember this. You are not in charge of anything. You're not in charge of anything. Especially the outcomes of the events of your life. You're not responsible for the outcome of what your children think about you, what they don't think about you, whether they like you, they don't like you, whether people like... That's why when all this stuff happened with me and people wanted to put my name in the paper and all this stuff in a negative way, let them do it. It's okay. It's all part of God's plan. It's the event that he planned. And look how it turned out. Boom. You have to understand that. If you don't understand that principle, growing in the spiritual grace of knowledge of Jesus Christ is almost impossible. You know why? Because you're in unbelief. You're actually in sin. Think about that. You're in sin. We look at sin so differently. Well, I didn't lie, steal, or break the commandments. I didn't do any of that. You sin so often. Every single time you go, oh my, oh. Or somebody will say, oh my God. You just profane God's name. You just did. Common use of his name. So if you're in sin, you can't grow. Sin stunts the sun's rays. S-O-N apostrophe S. It stunts the rays. Mm-hmm. You will not grow unless the sun's rays reach your heart. And you have to make the decision of if you're going to do it or not. And if you don't do it, sit for the class, enjoy yourself, laugh, have fun, but don't plan on doing much growing. Your growing season is limited to your submission to God. New thought. Any questions? All right. That you needed to hear that, I guess. Okay. So we're talking about no one knows when anything's going to happen. It doesn't matter because he's in charge. At 3A, it says, the same absolute truth which pertains to creation also applies with equal force to God's divine providence. Psalm 121, 1 through 8, June. Good morning, Lorraine.
Psalm 121, what?
1 through 8.
Okay, thank you. Put that one. One through eight, he said.
Mm-hmm.
I love this one. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever.
Now, does that not just back up every single word I just told you?
Yep.
Yes.
I just recently turned 69, and
I thought you wanted an applause.
When I was a child, you were first thing in the morning. We read a passage from the Psalms, and we pledged allegiance to the flag until they took God out of the schools. We read, I guess, Psalm 121 so many times that I knew, as she's reading it,
getting a flashback.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But I know the older version better than this one.
Well, Psalm 121 is the proof verse. You might want to make a note of that. Psalm 121 is the proof verse that you are not in charge of any of the outcomes in your life. He says, I will lift my eyes up to the hills from where comes my help. The help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We'll wait. Okay. And then he says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by light. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You can't get away from that. The idea that David is talking about God being in charge of every event. Now, I just want to stop for a second. It sounds like I'm beating this horse to death, but I got to tell you something. If there's one problem that every Christian that I know has, including myself on occasion, okay, is that we don't believe that. We don't. We go through life, and all of a sudden, you're going through, everything is good. You're like this. Everything is real good. And then all of a sudden, there's a little bump, and you go down. Ooh, you know, it's sort of like, you ever been in an airplane when it does this? Or you go in a car, and it takes a dip, and you go, ooh. You know, you just feel that like your stomach's coming up, right? That's what happens when we have those things. Now, if you just feel that feeling and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Don't know what it's about, but thank you. You just now accepted whatever's going to happen. There's where we fail. We don't, when that first thing happens, we wait. And we feel a little tense and like, what's going to happen next? And that's when you're in unbelief. The very moment you feel that little dip in your life, you know something's coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for whatever opportunity this is. I have no idea what it is, but thank you very much. Everybody get it? And this verse is the one you'd write down. I'd write it type it up online or on your computer and put it on your refrigerator. It tells you you are not in charge of what happens in your life. He's the keeper. An animal in the zoo is not in charge of it. Of the food, the water, the care, the shelter. He's in charge of nothing. He has a keeper. You have a keeper too. You do. You have flexibility. You can move around. You can do all those things, but all within the constraints of the keeper. That might be a sermon. That's a pretty good idea, huh? Keeper. I like that. That sermon's a keeper, yeah. All right, so Newman. Huh? Yeah.
I just thought of
you
something.
Are.
I just thought of something. On the cover years ago of a record, you know, a 33 thing, there was a picture of My Fair Lady of the man who was
girls?
The puppeteer with the strings. With the,
yeah.
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 They had freedom, but they were still.
Well, the puppeteers did not have any freedom. The puppets didn't. The puppeteers
that's
could move
they,
them around, right?
Yeah.
But. That's not what I'm talking about, because if you say that,
right.
some people will start thinking that you're like,
I mean, we have strings, but we can only go so far if we're believers.
You have a choice in here, but if God lets us do something, he ordained it.
Yeah, that's,
mean you do it.
He gives us a little leeway, but
Mm-hmm. Okay, page two. By page two. The beginning and the end of every facet of a person's life has been planned by his maker. Luke 12:7. You imagine if God wasn't the the planner of our life, what our lives would be like. Think about that for a while.
Oh, you
could, you want to see a biblical proof of what it is? Go to Genesis 6.
Yeah.
It repents me that I've made man, for his mind is continually evil. His heart is continually evil, right? Yeah. That's where you'd be. Luke 12:7. Let me get there. I'm back in. Got to back up here. Luke. Here we go. Luke 12:7. Jerry.
Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows.
Does everybody understand that? That the hairs on your head are counted, right? And what is he referring to when he says that? What does he mean? Does he mean literally your hairs are counted?
That too.
And they
are. Yeah, 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 that too.
Probably, but also he knows absolutely every atom of your body.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the metaphor?
Of your mind.
What's the metaphor?
What's the metaphor?
There's a metaphor there. The metaphor of your hairs is your hairs counted, yes, because he's the creator, he knows all of that, but it's a metaphor for something else.
Talking about fear.
Well, you're
talking about fear.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what he's talking about. That's not what I'm looking for. The metaphor of what that sentence means. Jerry.
He knows our comings and our goings. He knows
you're close.
How to position us.
You're close. You're close. You know, one of the reasons why I'm very succinct in all my answers that I give people? Because there's no confusion and succinctness. There's no fluff and succinct. And being short-winded. And succinctness. There's no puff. It's exactly, and that's what this book is, no puff. And the succinctness, you're right, but if we were to look at that succinctly, it simply means he knows everything about you and how it's all going to turn out. Now, just think about that. He knows everything about you and how it's going to turn out.
He's putting it in the terms of that day.
Exactly. Exactly. No, he's putting it in terms for every day, because this book was written 2,000 years ago and we still get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? That's what makes it inspiring.
We know there are smaller things now. Back then, the hair was pretty much
Oh, yeah, yeah. How about 1 Corinthians 4:7? David. Boy, I've been looking for that verse for a long time. I got to write that down.
1 Corinthians 4:7.
Yes.
For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
Like you earned it yourself.
Anybody understand that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you, what is the lesson, what is the application of that verse? Vinny, what's the application to you? That's right. What else? There you go. That's the key.
Our only boasting can only be in the Lord.
I thought about this last week. Sometimes, you know, people have this people from the world. People will say, oh, he's very athletic, she's very pretty, all that. But they didn't have any control over that.
Mm.
Grow up,
exactly.
They actually have what God gave you. You can't really change that.
Mm.
But you could, like you said, it says in the Bible, what, you know, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? It's a temple. That you have control over, but you don't control how you look, how you grow.
You have only control over the when it says you're the temple, it means that you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and it doesn't mean that you have control. I don't think you have control over it. Well, you have a choice to make every day, and I like that word better than control, because we're not in control of anything, really.
No, I was saying you have control of where you were born.
Oh, no, right, exactly. Oh, yeah.
If anything good comes through us or out of us, it's all from God.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wendy.
Also, and what do you have that you do not receive? It also shows that we're independent.
Boom. That's a good point. What you get is dependent upon what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing. Oh, and you know what? You can look at that so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in poverty, you're there because that's where he wants you.
Mm-hmm.
if you're just hanging in there, you're hanging in there because that's where he wants you, right? I use a term I don't like too much, but it fits the situation. And if you have abundance, it's because that's what he wants you to have. Now, why do you think there's so many facets of where all people are? What's the point of that? Ultimately, what I'm trying to do is to show you why God does what he does.
But, reach people at different levels.
Okay, yeah, but that's not it. Something else. Why does he have so many levels that he puts us on? We all grow at a different rate. That's very close. We're all on different paths. We're on a narrow path, but each one at this table has a different life. And let me tell you what I mean by that. You get up in the morning and you don't do the same thing I do or the same thing Tom does or the same thing Vinny does. You have your own thing that you do every day. You come in contact with the world in an altogether different way than any of us do here. Mm-hmm. And so he provides for us as he does to help us cope with our lives and with the world and also to help us grow. You got to remember something. You guys are all full of fertilizer. You are. You are. You're full of fertilizer. And I want to tell you why you're full of fertilizer. Because he wants you to grow. And the fertilizer he gives you, that he plants on you, okay, is the blessings that he gives you. And either he gives you a little fertilizer or a lot. And that has no regard to abundance or lack of it. It has to do with what people use with that fertilizer that he plants with you, how you grow. The fertilizer is there, but you still need the SONs rays. You need that influence. You need those protons from the sun's blood for you to grow. And if you're doing things that are not in his will, or if you're doing things that and you're in unbelief, because that's the biggest sin we have is unbelief, and we're in that, then the sun's rays are either in shadow and you're not getting them, so the fertilizer ain't working. Although you're still full of it, it ain't working until you get out of yourself. And then you let the sun's rays and the blood of that, the protons in that blood, enrich your life. And you enrich your life by believing. Understand that. The whole point of your life is to make you a believer. And the more you resist that, the less rays you get, the less the fertilizer uses, the less growth, the less fruit, the less fruit, the less glory, the less glory, the least place in heaven. Put it that way. Everybody get that? Okay, yeah.
There's a sermon in the fertilizer.
Huh?
In
yeah, that'd go over real big with everybody else. Get a couple of visitors in there. Y'all full of fertilizer. I can see that now. All right. Huh?
Spiritual cow pie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from that. You guys are... encouraging me. No, see, and the rise, the progress, the status gained, as well as the entire history of every nation has been foreordained by God. You get that? The rise, progress, and status gained, as well as the entire nation. He's talking about history of the nation and of people has been foreordained by God. Proverbs 8:16. Tom.
By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me.
Okay, what's the key thought here? What's the key thought? By me, kings reign and princes, let's start there, and princes decree justice. What is that? What's the application there?
He puts them in and takes them out.
Trump, Biden, irrelevant. What we think. It's what he thinks and what he's going to do. Everybody get that? there's a Bible verse you should mark somewhere and remind somebody the next time they say, well, he got more votes than me and this and that and the other. Just say, hey, look, he got, whoever wins got one vote. God's, period. Everything else doesn't matter. You understand? And what else can we learn by that? What else? It's called squeezing the grape. I'm taking this verse and I'm squeezing it right now. That's what I'm doing. What else can I learn and apply? I see a hand.
How we govern justly, do what's right, do what's just.
Yes, that's true. That's true. There leaves no room for your opinion. There leaves no room for your anger, your wrath, anything. You should be as neutral as Switzerland when it comes to this because you know who's in charge. Difficult. Oh, it's very difficult. Why? Because you guys and me are all biased. Whether you want to admit it or not, we're biased. Some like Trump, some like Biden, some like the devil. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. All that really matters is that you understand there's only one vote that counts, and you have no control. You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't be upset. You shouldn't be vengeful. You should be neutral as Switzerland, as I said, simply because that verse says he puts them in and he takes them out. So what are you crying about? What are you upset about? That's why Romans 13, 1 and 2 says?
That's next. Yeah. That's the one that says.
That's on the page. Next.
Oh, that's next? Okay. Wow. See, I'm ahead of myself, huh? How about that? Okay. You brought it up.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's go to Romans 13. Give me a second there to transverse. Romans 13. Vinny, you brought it up? You give it up.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have an institution like
that.
This is an old
word. Go to.
Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment.
And three.
For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval.
And then four.
For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain.
Okay.
For he is.
Go ahead. For he is a minister of the God, or avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's talking about his the power's duties, okay? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Number one vote.
Amen.
You got God's vote, you win.
You can cross-reference that whole section with 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15.
1 second. Let's go to 1 Peter. What is it? Well, go ahead and read that. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15. You're up, Wink.
Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or as supreme or governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people.
There you go. So all of you that have a problem with whoever wins are called, by the Bible calls you foolish people. And that word foolish isn't just what we think it is. It's not a good word, especially if God's saying it, right?
I said that to a guy once. He was at aerospace. I said, you know, the Bible says that we're fools for Christ. He said, well, that's right about you, he said.
Who said
that? That's what I was.
Who said
very
that?
Enthusiastic. No convert.
Who said that to you?
Somebody at work.
So
that all being said, you know, that all being said, those of you who believe in conspiracies, dump them, because there is no conspiracy. If there is a conspiracy, even that's ordained. If there isn't a conspiracy, if votes have been thrown in the Mississippi River, it's all part of the plan. If Trump gets elected or doesn't get elected, it's all part of the plan. We have to understand something. The only thing I've ever found in the New Testament Jesus ever said regarding power was give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I never heard him say, hey, look, they're going to throw you guys, they're going to give you guys a lot of trouble down the road. And, you know, if they didn't have Hebrews 11 when he was around. But the point was, okay, whatever happens, you have to understand something. You either accept that or don't. And I want to tell you this, and I'd be remiss in my duties as a minister if I didn't tell you this. If you say, yeah, I agree, but yet in your heart you don't agree, then you're in sin. You're in unbelief. You don't believe what we just read. If that thing bothers you when you leave this class today, no matter who wins, okay, it doesn't matter who wins, then you're in sin. You're in the sin of unbelief. You're saying, I don't believe God's word. I don't believe he's in charge. He's the only vote that counts, and I'm upset about that, and this isn't going to happen, and the stock market's going to fall 4,000 points. I'm going to lose everything I have. You're in unbelief. You
could make a mistake here.
Huh?
God may be
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. But what I'm saying to you is this. I'm simply saying to you that if you leave this class after reading these verses and you got a bunch of junk in your heart about this election, then you're in unbelief. Period.
Jerry.
I totally agree with what you're saying.
Uh-oh.
But.
That means I don't agree. Go ahead.
No, I believe God's in charge. I do believe
okay.
that. But can't we as Christians have concern if this, what we believe America to be,
no.
if it goes into the wrong
well,
hand? Can't we be concerned?
Let me just say this. Let me interrupt you.
Based on Hebrews 11.
Let me just interrupt you.
I agree.
When I say concerned, being, well, you know, I guess that's the end of America, as we're going to know it. If it turns social.
But now you're not, yeah, but what
so,
you're saying when you say that is that if God says that this country is going to become a socialist country, mm-hmm. if you're saying that that once the Democrats get in, they're going to take all of our guns, they're going to take away our freedom of speech, they're going to turn it into Nazi Germany, whatever you're saying, then you're saying that God's made a mistake.
No, she's right, though.
Yeah.
How?
If you look at Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11. You need to turn and read this. Mm-hmm. Because you got a point there. Let's hear it.
Start in verse 32, Hebrews 11.
And, these are people who fought.
I know.
They fought against governments.
Wait a minute. Who fought against governments?
Right
here. What? Starting where? 32?
Starting in verse 32. They fought against injustice and all this stuff. He says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel
context.
And prophets who through faith conquer kingdoms. There's a fight. They're conquering kingdoms.
It's out of context, Wink. What they're doing is they're fighting because God told them to do it.
Well, yeah. Well,
but God isn't telling us to fight. He's simply saying to us, okay, do your civic duty. You want to march, you want to pass out banners, you want to try to influence other people, do it. But when the result comes in, and whatever it is,
accept
it.
Yeah, well, how it all comes out, but you can fight. Fight for that result.
Well, let me just say this. Those people were ordained by God. But wait a minute. But I'm saying God spoke directly to Gideon. Did he not? He spoke directly to Gideon. And so he speaks to us today in the New Testament, right? He speaks to us in the New Testament, correct? He doesn't speak to us anymore. He speaks to our hearts through a leading and an influence, right? But the bulk of him speaking to us is through this book, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. And in this book, it says, let the powers be who God puts in. He doesn't say anything about fighting them. He says nothing about that. He said it in that book because Israel was having problems. The Midianites were trying to take over. God gave them a promised land, and he said, go in there and kill them all. We don't have that. We don't have that same commandment. We don't. We're to be at peace with all men. Yes. Oh, wait. Somebody had their hand up first.
He was the next chapter.
What's that before us to cross and there? What about it?
12:1 and 2,
it says, "The church, I pretty much. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." There you go. So the point is that we're not to do that. Listen. You can try to make any excuse you want to be upset about the election. You can try to make any excuse you want to be about upset about anything in your life. It's perfectly human and it's perfectly understandable. But from a biblical perspective, when you do that, you are in unbelief, whether you want to believe that or not, because
that's,
we just read it.
That's at the total result you have to be in, not be in unbelief. You have to believe that this is the way God wants it. But before that, you have to fight against injustice. You have to fight against...
Where?
You have to fight against...
Where?
Against God's principles.
Where?
If, you know what I'm saying?
Show me where it says that.
Well, if wait a minute, let me finish.
But we're running out of time. To be picked up?
Yeah.
Yeah, 11:33, they enforce justice. So, yeah.
Can I just say something?
You have to say for what Ron. Is right.
I said this last week too, and I'm going to say it again. I'm a Trump person, but Biden has supposedly 78,000 votes. Out of those 78,000 votes, a lot of them are what you call claim to be Christian. Which Christians is putting him into office.
I don't believe that at all.
I don't either, Brian. But that's claiming Christian.
Yeah.
But God is looking at us saying, well, you're Christian, you're what is this what you want? I won't give you what you want. He's giving us what we're voting for.
All I'm saying is this. This is what I'm saying. I'm gonna sum it up with this and we'll leave, okay? We have to leave. I'm summing it up this way. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us that we are to fight. It tells us that we are to love our enemies, and it tells us that we have a civic duty to vote. It doesn't even tell us to do that. We do have a civic duty to vote. We have a civic duty to campaign for people running for office. We have a civic duty to file lawsuits. If you call that fighting, I agree with you, then you have the full rights to do that, and the Bible says so. But it does not say anywhere that you're not to accept whatever happens, number one. And number two, it does not say that we're to fight, in the sense being that they did in the Old Testament. We're not called to
fight
do that.
Fight.
Huh?
Fight the good fight.
That's right, because now we're in the spiritual realm that they were never in. Okay? We're in the spiritual realm of grace. They never were in that. Not saying they didn't have grace, saying they weren't in it the way we're in it. So we don't have to fight because the fight's already been won. How do we know that? 1 John says, even your faith is giving you the victory over the world. Your faith. You've got the victory over everything already. You don't have to fight. All you have to do is believe. Wow, I love that. Close.